you so much for joining us. We're speaking of schools. I'm Doug Keel, the program from South Carolina's Department of Education, a weekly feature at this website. And once again, we're glad to have you aboard this week as we'll have a conversation with the new superintendent of South Carolina's public charter school district. I say new superintendent. Actually, he has had a year at the helm of the charter school district, but at the same time, we haven't had a chance to meet Elliot Smalley, so we'll be doing that today on the podcast. We'll be learning more about charter schools across the Palmetto State. 35 schools exist in the state right now, and there's a lot of good information in today's podcast. So join us. We are Speaking of Schools. Welcome to Speaking of Schools, where today we're going to be visiting with the new superintendent of the South Carolina Public Charter School District. He is Elliot Smalley. He's just about ready to celebrate his first anniversary with the South Carolina Public Charter School District. Came to the district from Charleston County Schools, but prior to that, he was chief of staff for Tennessee's Achievement School District. Now, that was a single school district involving all of the state's schools in Tennessee, particularly those lowest achieving school districts. And we've talked about this before on Speaking of Schools, but if Elliot doesn't mind, bring us up to date on that. Maybe fill in some of the blanks that I have missed and that other listeners might not know about the Achievement School District in Tennessee and how it parallels what you're doing here in South Carolina with the public charter schools.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And just thanks for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be able to talk education in South Carolina with you and with your listeners. So, I kind of start by going way back. I mean, I'm from South Carolina. I was born in Charleston. I kind of came into this world as a kid who experienced a lot of different things growing up in public schools and then went into education and just public service as a career. And that career took me to working for the district in Charleston and also working in D.C. at the U.S. Department of Education. And I say all that because the Achievement School District is so important to kind of my point of view, because I learned a lot of things from families there and from educators there. And, you know, my point of view on what works is really informed by a lot of great people and a lot of great leaders, including those in traditional districts. And so I've learned a lot from my time in Charleston and working with school districts and also at the Achievement School District in Tennessee, my most kind of recent job previous to coming here into this position. And so what was the Achievement School District all about is really about, you know, a belief that we can do better and that kids have limitless potential. And it was started when Race Tennessee went after Race to the Top, a federal grant that came from the president and the U.S. Department of Education. And part of that federal grant was showing that the state was going to do something about its lowest performing schools and the kids that those schools serve. And that had to be really clear and it had to be dramatic and urgent. And part of that plan was launching this new kind of school district. And what was different about the Achievement School District is not just that it kind of started by looking at the lowest performing schools, but that it set like very aspirational goals about what those schools could become. And those goals were based on what we all felt like we would want to see in our own schools, our own kids' schools. So there's a lot of language around the Achievement School District that says we're going to move schools to the top 25% in the state. We're going to prove what's possible. And that's really kind of the spirit of the Achievement School District. So one of the similarities to my current job is the Achievement School District strategy was to give power really to educators and to communities, kind of transfer the power from, you know, a system that held a lot of that power and really put it in the hands of educators. And we did that by authorizing nonprofit charter schools, proven charter operators and leaders and educators to actually run low performing schools or underperforming schools and serve their communities. And so that was really profound. And I just saw a lot in Memphis and in Nashville that taught me, you know, about what happens when you give the power to the educators and when you deeply engage communities. And so I learned a lot in my 3.5 years there, and I'm really proud of the work of the teachers and school principals and other community leaders that are still carrying that work forward and in local districts, carrying that work forward in Tennessee in ways that are bringing needed change and improvement to students there.
Yes, in the Achievement School District, the bottom 5% schools in Memphis and Nashville over a three-year period of time, student proficiency went from 17% to 26%, and that was a rate of student growth that had tripled the growth of students in non-priority schools. That's a lot to brag about.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, and that is truly a credit to the teachers and how they really leveraged and used the freedom that they were given, the autonomy that these schools had to really serve the kids that they know best. And you know, one of the great things that we saw there was, you know, when you looked at, when I left, which was a year ago, obviously, we had information on, you know, third-year ASD schools and second-year schools. Both of those groups of schools, if you put all the kids together in those schools, their growth rating was what's called level five, which is the highest possible growth rating that can be achieved in Tennessee. So just great to see kids doing better there, and also, you know, educators outside of the Achievement School District learning together and collaborating. And yeah, really promising work. Still far from complete, really just getting started in so many ways. But it's just good to see people really urgently bringing change to communities that need that change the most.
And it's certainly good to see people whose background lends them to one job to another. And certainly what you experienced in Tennessee, as well as in the Charleston County School District, where you were Deputy of Strategy and Communications, all of that lends itself to where you are now and what you're doing. So let us hear from you then, as far as talking a little bit about what you found over the past, 10 months now that you've been at the helm of the Charter School District in South Carolina. It's got to be close to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm really, you know, first year anniversary right now in October. I mean, my first week on the job was really first week of October last year.
So in the time that you have been here, tell us some of the good, tell us some of the bad, tell us some of the things that you've observed about charter schools in South Carolina. Of course, it's just when you're talking about, 32 schools and gosh, I don't know how many thousands of students, and you're talking about school choice that just spans the spectrum, but yet there are new schools popping up, there are new ideas as far as curriculum is concerned. Fill us in on all of this.
Yes, sir. I would just start with, you know, you look at this school year, we have 35 schools. We have approximately 22,000 students being served by schools in our district, which, you know, makes us one of the largest districts in the state of South Carolina. And I think that's just a testament to parents really demanding these choices and demand for charter schools. And so that's the first thing that I see when, you know, I go around the state is I just see really enthusiastic and involved families who are able, through our legislators and the creation of charter schools here, including our district, to create this opportunity for families to choose schools that work for their kids, whether that's a different sort of theme in that school or focus area or some kind of different innovative approach. It's awesome to go out and just see kids really engaged and families choosing schools. And that demand is real, and that demand is growing. So that's kind of the first thing that I noticed that gives me a lot of optimism. I think the second thing is, you know, we've just got a lot of great educators and leaders in our state doing work on behalf of kids. And I see that uniquely in our district, all across the state. You know, we looked at our enrollment numbers, and we found that we literally have kids from every single county across South Carolina attending one of our schools. And so it's awesome to just see educators who are working in every sort of imaginable community, whether it's a rural community or in the city of Charleston or the city of North Charleston or Greenville, just every section of our state, you can find schools that have been stood up by people who wanted better and wanted to offer better to kids. And so that's awesome to see just kind of the scope of the impact of schools all across our state. We've got a lot of schools that are doing really promising work. We have, you know, a few schools that are just absolute, you know, shining stars. When you look at the data, when you look at performance, there are schools that are getting just tremendous, you know, high levels of proficiency, college readiness, ACT scores. And so we're really excited to be able to celebrate the work of those schools and think about how we kind of expand their impact and grow their impact. And what's really cool about that, if I could just touch on, you know, I talked about a growth rating in Tennessee, and there's actually something kind of similar here. So like last year, we had four schools that had what's called level five growth. And what was really cool about those schools is they were, you know, they looked different. One was a rural school, Royal Live Oaks. We had Spartanburg Prep up in Spartanburg. We had York Prep in a different, you know, corner of the state. We had Green which is in Greenville. And so you saw schools that kind of looked very, very different, but were achieving great growth for all kids. And that's what gets me really, really excited, is when I see these examples of charter schools in our network making a huge impact on kids' lives. And you know, we also have the opportunity to meet challenges that we certainly, I would want to acknowledge, you know, in our sector, in our district, and really across the state, where we've got to do better for kids as well. So thinking creatively about how we can improve where we don't see the kinds of results that get us excited. And that's really, you know, that's really what motivates me, is not just celebrating the great schools and figuring out how we grow more. Certainly is a powerful motivator, but also how do we engage communities and schools where we know that we're not serving kids in the way that we know that those kids deserve, our kids deserve. Like, what do we do about that? And how do we solve that? How do we meet that challenge? And so I'm just really excited to, you know, join my team here and fellow educators and school leaders and think about that, because that's really a challenge for our state, across our state.
Well, your enthusiasm is very obvious in our conversation. Talking with Elliot Smalley, who is the superintendent now in the South Carolina Public Charter School District, it's a public school. Folks need to remember that charter schools are public schools in South Carolina. There is no cost to attend. It started off in 96 with the first charter schools, and I think the district was formed around 2008. And as Elliot just said, that there are about 35 schools across the state right now that are schools in the public charter school district. Information is abundant at their excellent website, which is sccharter.org. sccharter.org. Elliot, in South Carolina, we've got traditional schools, magnet schools, and charter schools. In your charter schools, I guess all of the traditional schools, magnet schools, and even maybe some other names have been identified and are available to people in the state.
That's right. You know, one of the great things about our state is that we do have all of these options. And I really appreciate you touching on the fact that charters are public schools. I think sometimes that gets lost in translation, and you know, we want people to know that our schools are here, that they're open and accessible to all kids, that we embrace all students as our students. We embrace different learning styles, different levels of ability, and that's truly what a public school is, and that's what our schools are. And so I appreciate you saying that. They're tuition free. They cannot have any kind of special tests that are required to get into them. So our schools are fully accessible, free public schools, and we're really excited about the fact that they are, and working to educate people to understand that these options are out there and available to them. I think, you know, one thing that we are thinking about is sort of this idea of choice, which I touched on earlier, and innovation, which are really inherent to, you know, charter schools. Like, charter schools really give the power to the educators to create schools and adjust quickly and define schools based on what their communities need. And I think I'm also excited about talking about quality and how we boost the quality and results across our schools. You know, one of the things that I credit the legislature with is being really clear about our purpose through the law. And our purpose is really to help drive educational excellence across our state. I mean, it's also to help close gaps, learning gaps that exist between kids according to their backgrounds. And so that's something that we are, you know, we're really interested in getting better there. And while we're offering new innovation, new ideas, and choice to families, we're also kind of holding up our bargain to ensure that we get awesome results that can help transform kids' lives and put them on the trajectory to success in today's world.
Talk a little bit about the virtual schools. There are schools, of course, across the state. As you mentioned, students from every county in the state can attend and are attending a charter school. But the virtual schools seem to be some of the things which have really increased in popularity in recent years. Those schools that are exclusively virtual schools, and those which have some hybrid parts of them too, where they do have the presence of a teacher.
That's right. You know, speaking of kind of hybrid approaches, I mean, I saw a lot of great examples when I was in Tennessee of called blended learning, where kind of you have a mix of instruction, which, you know, utilizes technology, but also teachers who are working face-to-face with kids, small groups, large groups, kids kind of rotate through and can kind of have their own learning dictate sort of adaptive programs that they can use on computers. It's really interesting when you see all of this stuff start to like fit together and create great results for kids. Yeah, you're right. You know, we have 6 virtual schools. You know, it's 35 total. So we've got 29 that are, you know, some people say brick and mortar, kind of that traditional brick and mortar structure. And then we've got 6 virtual schools in our district. And I think one thing that makes them unique and kind of aligned with who we are is if you're in our district, you can serve any child throughout the state is eligible to go to your school. And so, you know, virtuals are open to obviously any child, regardless of where he or she lives across the state. And, you know, I had the pleasure of going to a couple of our virtual schools' graduations at the end of last year. And it was just really cool for me to be able to see kids face to face as they walk the stage and see, you know, which kids have really benefited from virtual education in our state. And I know that virtual educators are really passionate about their program and what they deliver. And it's, you know, it's part of the suite of offerings and choices that we currently present to families all across our state.
Well, Elliot, I know also that you do spend a great deal of time working in communities who are thinking about opening charter schools. We've, as you said, got 35 presently. What are you looking at right now? How many communities are you working with that could have doors opening in the 2017-2018 school year?
All across our state, there are communities that could benefit from grade schools being opened by people who are from the community, interested in serving kids in those communities. And so I don't have a specific number, but I would say it's easily like dozens and dozens of communities throughout the state of South Carolina that could benefit from the creation of great schools. And yeah, we are, you know, our board ultimately makes the decision around who gets approved. We are about to kick off the process of authorizing new schools. You know, our letters of intent are due November 1st, first week of November, and then, you know, applicants can apply to us this spring, early spring, our applications are due. And really what we're looking for is we're looking for people who have a great plan, have a great purpose and mission in mind, and can really demonstrate that they've got the capacity to create an awesome school, a high quality school that's going to serve all kids. And so we look for all the sort of pieces of that and the science of that and how that gets demonstrated. We look for that as part of our application and authorization process. But I would say to anyone who's got, you know, about the mission of better serving kids in our state and has a track record of doing great work in education and has a committee of people, a group of people who are fired up about doing that and has a community, a neighborhood where they can recognize and demonstrate that there's demand for a great school, we'd love to encourage them to contact us and talk about what it takes to open a great charter school in our state.
And of course, you have a staff there that once applications are approved and communities are headed in to opening a charter school, I'm sure you provide a number of resources for them in terms of their thought process and the curriculum and the various things that are required to open a charter school.
That's right. I mean, we've provided technical assistance to walk people through kind of the process. And I would just say I'm humbled every day to get up and work with this team of just awesome people who work super hard and are very smart. And I think more important than anything else, believe in South Carolina's kids and get up every day with the service to kids in mind. And I would just encourage folks, if they're interested in this, you know, check out our website, sccharter.org, and you're going to see kind of who we are, what we do, and contact information. And I would just ask people to reach out to us if they're interested in this, and let's engage in the conversation.
sccharter.org is the website. Elliot Smalley is our guest on Speaking of Schools. And Elliot, it has become a custom with me on this podcast to make sure that the guests get to say everything that they want to say. So is there anything that I haven't asked that you wanted to make a statement about, or anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like for the public to know?
I would just say, like, how proud I am to be here in South Carolina and to do this work every single day, and how humbled I am not just by the work of people on my team, but educators, district leaders, community leaders throughout the state who I see and I know are working hard on behalf of kids and working to create solutions for our greatest challenges and bring a sense of urgency to that work every single day. And I'm just incredibly motivated by the hard work of others and what I have to learn from them. And my team has to learn from them. So I think that's the only thing I'd want to make sure that I put on the table. And thank you for asking for that follow-up.
Well, that's great talking to you, Elliot Smalley, the superintendent of the South Carolina Public Charter School District. Once again, excellent website. Virtually every question that one might have can be answered by going to sccharter.org. Elliot, a pleasure talking with you. Nice to get to know you a little bit, and we'll look forward to future conversations on Speaking of Schools. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I'd love to get together sometime and learn more about you.
Elliot Smalley today on Speaking of Schools. Delightful guest, rich background, certainly very positive things ahead under his leadership in South Carolina's public charter school district. It's been a real pleasure visiting with him, and it's been a real pleasure having you aboard for this edition of Speaking of Schools. This weekly podcast is heard on this website, and you can join us each week for information about public schools in South Carolina on Speaking of Schools. My name is Doug Keel. It's been a pleasure having you with us on the podcast. We invite you to join us again when we'll be Speaking of Schools.